And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 781, coming at you on a Labor Day, Monday, September 1st, to recap week 24 Fab. Only three more of these recaps to go before the season is, well, after today, I guess, is all said. No, probably just three, actually, because we're not recapping the last week, I doubt. So we'll see where that goes. But we're getting towards the end of the line, as one may say. So we're going to recap Fab, take a look at the next 4 weeks schedule, which pretty much wraps up the season, and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Benton, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty well, Bubba. Yeah, only three to four left of these. It's pretty crazy. And a lot of day baseball today, which I wasn't able to enjoy because I was out while I was golfing, which is fine. But it's and it wasn't a terrible day for me either. But yeah, a lot of games are already done, and there's two going on right now as we're recording, and only two left. So it's a very interesting Monday, but I think it's because of the holiday. It makes sense. Yeah. They wanted to have a lot of day games, and they should have everybody playing, honestly, on Labor Day, like all the major holidays. I know Jeff Erickson and Scott Jensen said that those advocate for universal games on the holidays, and I think that makes sense. But yeah, a lot of good baseball so far, just trying to catch up on what's been happening to start off the week. And yeah, I'm not going to miss setting lineups. That's one thing I can say confidently.
Well, yeah, it's hard to set lineups from the golf course, so that is tricky.
yeah, I had to do some work last night.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm with you, because like I was working a half day today, and so I had to pull over, get my iPad out at like 9:30, and start locking in things, and that's not ideal either, all things considered, when you're trying to make a push in certain leagues. But hey, this is what we do. 27 weeks out of the season or so, and we grind on, and we're going to grind on with some news before we get to the schedules and the Fab. A little bit of injury news, but more just kind of overall player playing time, potential news, locations news. We'll start with an injury. Edward Cabrera. This one stung because this came out on Monday. Would have been nice at about 6:45 Pacific time on Sunday night, so I could just drop him. But now that'll be a drop next week, which makes it an easy drop, of course. But Edward Cabrera goes to the IL with a right elbow sprain. At best, he gets 2 weeks of the season back. I don't know why they bring him back in Miami. So he's pretty much done for the year. Jansen Junk is rehabbing. He should be back maybe next week. I'm not overly optimistic. They haven't announced the potential replacement for Edward Cabrera just yet. We're out of the situation because Cabrera was pitching really well this year after a lot of down year injury ridden seasons.
He definitely was. And I was able to add him in the spot, but it's your point. It's very annoying that Monday morning they have to make the announcement when we can't do anything about it. Not that they really care, of course, but yeah. So in his last start, Cabrera definitely was his worst one in a little bit. 11.25 ERA, so that was 5 earned runs in 4 innings, 4 Ks, 1 walk. A lot of hits allowed against the Mets. He had a pretty bad clunker too before that against the Cardinals too. So, and one before that as well against the Guardians, but wasn't that good either. So after a pretty good stretch there, he was starting to show some cracks. And still, though, his season numbers, 3.57 ERA, 1.21 whip for Edward Cabrera, which is, I was going to say the best of his career. He had a little bit better in 2022, but he had more innings this year. So arguably his best season as a starter. And there was some debate I heard on podcasts about where he would be going next year. Because to your point, I think his 2025 season is done now because the Marlins aren't competing. And he's either going to be useful for them in the future or they'll be wanting to trade him at some point. So they want his elbows to be good. So 2 weeks is half the season, and then two more after that. Maybe it's one or two starts, but maybe they have him just go. If he does return, maybe Cabrera only goes 3-4 innings in those starts, and he's not really useful anyway. So definitely a drop this upcoming Sunday.
Yeah, really curious what the Marlins do here, because right now on Roster Resorts, it's Yuri Perez, Sandy Alcantara, who's been outstanding over like the last month, and Adam Mazur, who got called up for the spot start in his last round. Looks like he'll be sticking in the rotation. Like we've seen Vicente Belazo get shots this season, which I'm not condoning, but that was a true statement at least. I'm really curious if we get Robbie Snelling up here for a little push to finish the season. That could be another prospect name brought to the forefront. They have some minimal options, but we'll see what the Marlins do here in the coming days. To Uncle Ted's point, Ryan Weathers is throwing a rehab assignment this Thursday. He'll be back next week. So the Marlins just need to buy time to get him back in the rotation to fill one of those spots if his arm holds up as well. Again, this is a piece that could be for the future of the Marlins, so they don't want to probably overextend him over the end of the season. A lot of question marks in Miami, as usual. Taylor Ward. Did you see this yesterday, Ben? Taylor Ward. I was busy most of the day. I saw the highlights. I saw Joe Adell's anger because he got hurt as well. So the Crawford boxes has that scoreboard in left field for Houston, and it's got it's metal, which is a great idea. There's metal pieces on it. Phenomenal idea. Taylor Ward went back for a fly ball. Face hits metal. You kind of know where things go from there. It looks really, really bad. Blood kind of going everywhere. Taylor Ward was with the team on Monday. He had 20 stitches above his eye. Says he's day-to-day, needs a couple days to rest, but expects to be back middle to end of this week.
I did not see it. I did hear about it, though, while I was listening to the podcast today. But, yeah, so I guess if – I don't have him in any NFBC leagues, Ward. So, but if I did, he's definitely a sit. They already played the Angels today. So hopefully you did sit him. But, yeah, it's at least they're not worried about him missing time, but there's always the chance he could have a concussion potentially. And it's probably what they want to wait and see over those next couple of days. But it's good that he got taken care of and he seems to be okay. But yeah, I might have to go back and take a look. But I heard it was pretty bad.
Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. But I guess the biggest takeaway for the listeners here is what I wanted to bring it up for is he is expected back at the end of this week. He still is in a concussion protocol, to Ben's point. So kind of waiting to see, because I expected immediately a concussion, broken facial, like some facial fractures. Like it looked bad, really bad. And this is a guy that's coming off a hit in the face by a fastball facial fracture. Like he's had a few instances here, which is just not good for the guy. And he's having an awesome season. So it's a rough way to kind of slow things down. Really curious your thoughts on this one, because I was relatively surprised that the Rays did this. I know the Rays have Carson Williams. I get that as their future shortstop, but you sign Ha-Seon Kim to a cheap 2-year deal, knowing he was missing part of 2025 with injury. Comes back, he's been banged up all year. It's been a back, an ankle, whatever. He's been on and off the IL. It's been annoying. I get it, but you have him cheap again for 2026. The Rays waived him. They let him go, and the Braves picked him up, which is a typical Braves let's save money move, which I love. They've been playing Nick Allen at shortstop. Ha-Seon Kim is going to be activated from the IL any day with his lower back inflammation. I'm not like, I think he's probably worth the pickup just to see what happens here. Just overall your thoughts here, because this is one of those, even if we start thinking 2026, like if he's a full-time in Atlanta, and if God forbid someday, Ben, this offense starts playing the way they should, like he could be a phenomenal piece here and another really nice piece to add to a potentially good lineup.
Oh, I agree with you right there, Bubba. I'm laughing partially too, because I did not know he was even put on waivers.
Didn't either. I saw it this morning, and I was like, it was almost like a bang-bang thing, I guess it feels like. Yeah. I missed it if it happened on Sunday, because when I saw that the Braves claimed him, I started just searching Twitter. I'm like, what did I miss here? So I'm with you.
Yeah, I'm looking at his player notes on NFBC, and the last one was Friday saying that he could return when the rosters expanded, which I'm assuming is today. I think the 1st of September is when they expand. Yeah, and there's no note about being waived, and then it just says, yeah, he's claimed by Atlanta, so interesting, but I agree. Nick Allen isn't really the answer for the Braves ever since they got rid of Arcia. There's been kind of a gap there in their infield. I think Nick Allen's a decent infielder potentially, yeah, but that's why he's there. But yeah, I agree that if Kim is available, he's actually available a couple of my main events. Of course, it's the bad ones. if he's available, go for it. And he should be back this week. If he's not back today, I don't know if he's been activated yet
today. Yeah.
Yeah, it's saying Tuesday for a potential return date. So, yeah, I agree that I would be looking to add him mainly if you need steals. If you don't need steals, then I don't know what he'll really be providing you, because he's never really hit for that great of an average, Kim, and doesn't have too much power. So, at this point in the year, we're looking for certain categories. So, if you need steals, then definitely look to see if Kim's available.
Yep, agreed. I think this is very interesting. It has my full attention for 2026. Like, he'd be one of those that probably gets drafted in that middle infield tier, and that could be quite productive when all things are said and done. A couple more bits of news here. Walker Buehler was released by the Red Sox last week, picked up by the Phillies. He was sent to AAA as the Phillies want to work with him, and they said they're going to call him up to make a start and join the rotation on September 12th. Ben, does this do anything for you for fantasy?
I don't know what they're looking at, because Walker Buehler is horrible.
Yes, he is.
And they made a 6-man rotation just to fit him in there. Is that true?
That's the plan. Yes, when he comes up, Jeez. That's the plan.
Yeah, his Buehler's K minus walk is 5.7%. That is so bad. I think he's one of the guys who's had two Tommy Johns now, so it's probably just the end. Yeah, his swinging strike rate was never very good, and it's cratered to 7.7% this year. So, and he's a couple years removed from Tommy John, so I think it's just who he is now. He's 31. I think he he could be toast, Walker Buehler. So, and not, you definitely don't look to add him, even though the Phillies signed him. I think he's a big stay away.
Yep, I'm going to look to attack Walker Buehler if I can with hitters, but we'll see where it goes. They want to do the whole, let's give him a couple trips through the AAA rotation, work with them, maybe pitch mix change, you know, mechanics, all that fun stuff, and then bring him up on the 12th for a couple starts and then get him ready for the postseason. So we'll see where that goes. Eric Lauer missed a start, or they skipped his start, two trips through the rotation. He came back, did not end well for him. And the Jays made it official on Monday. They're moving Lauer to the bullpen full-time, which, hey, thanks for your service. It was a great run while you were here. But that leaves Kevin Gausman, Max Scherzer, Chris Bassett, Jose Barrios, and Shane Bieber as the starting five in Toronto. Just wanted to bring that up in case, unless you have anything else on the Eric Lauer demotion.
I want to say I may have added Lauer when he was in the bullpen originally, because he did have some value there. I'm looking back at his game log, and yeah, May 11th, his third appearance, he pitched 4 2/3 out of the bullpen, got the win, 5 Ks, and then made a couple starts. And then end of May, early June, he made 2 more appearances out of the bullpen. Both were scoreless. So if you're in a position where you don't need Ks and Lauer looks good the next time he pitches, I mean, you don't need wins, excuse me. Well, if he's piggybacking, I guess he could be in line for a win. If you're trying to preserve ratios, I guess is the point I'm trying to make. I could see Lauer having value, but as we'll discuss, I did drop him in my good main event, unfortunately. Yeah. And I said after the fact, I guess the layoff was not something that we should have messed with, even though the Twins were a very good matchup for Lauer and he got crushed. But oh well, just one start. But to your point, I was checking my team stats with him in my lineup, and I think it was still good enough for the waiver wire ad despite the blow up. But yeah, he was a good ad while it lasted. But to my point though, wait and see how he does out of the bullpen. He could be useful, at least in deeper leagues, I think,
Be useful in deeper leagues. He still could get a spot start. You know, you got Scherzer, who was pulled from his start on Sunday with back tightness. He says he'll be fine after his normal rest. We know how Scherzer rolls. So that could be or could not be.
Scherzer's always hurt, to Uncle Ted's point.
Yeah, pretty much. So you got Scherzer. And as Mark Jordan in the chat says, Bassett might have a nail issue after today's game. Bassett was good through 6, but apparently I haven't seen the news on the nail thing. But another thing to monitor. So the point being is Lauer is the next man up if they want to get a 6th man out there to help out with a ailing rotation as the Jays are pushing for the AL East crown. One more bit of news here. Tyler Anderson goes to the IL with an oblique strain for the Angels, which stinks if you look to stack against Tyler Anderson. But it still gets good in this regard. Jose Urania is taking his spot in the rotation, Ben.
Oh, man. When I was golfing yesterday, I also missed this. So in one of my Batman events, I still added Tyler Anderson like $1. That's whatever. But this is he was kind of useful in my DCs, Tyler Anderson. So it's one more red pitcher that I have, I guess. But yeah, he's done for the year. And please do not add, who'd you say, Jose Urania? Do not add him.
Jose Urania is not an option, folks. Not an option.
No, unless you stream against him. But do not start him as a pitcher.
And there was a lot of call-ups or expanded roster. Like Jake Berger's back. There's Ha-Sung Kim's back with the Dodgers. There's a bunch of guys that got called up or promoted as rosters expanded on September 1st. I guess if you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter or whatever. But I'm not going to cover every single one of them at this point in time because most of them aren't really that relevant. And the prospects, curious to see how they play for a few days. That'll be covered on the Bubba and the Bloom Fab Preview on Thursday evening to get you there, because we have no clue really how these guys are going to play playing time-wise and production-wise. What we can do, Ben, is look at the rest of the season outlook by looking at that handy-dandy sheet you've come up with that has been really useful the last few weeks, and I think will keep us going strong here for the final 4 weeks of the season. So for the listeners at home, if they are new to this, because we've done it for the last 2 weeks, can you give them a quick synopsis of what we're looking at here that you created?
Sure. Yeah. So this takes a few things off of some websites. First is the rest of the season schedule I got that from Fangraphs. Also looking at teams, WRC plus over the last 30 days versus lefties, righties split up, and then also overall. But what we're going to look at is versus the hand in this, because I also took, this is a paid service, the RotoWire pitcher grid. You can download as a CSV. I think Fangraphs has their own version of their projected starters you could probably use as well. But I basically just made up the rest of the season schedule and the probables, and then also look at the teams that these pitchers are projected to face, what their WRC plus is over what it has been over the last month, and then looking out now we have the rest of the season potentially. I don't know if RotoWire has filled in all of the, sometimes they say undecided as you get farther out. We're looking 4 weeks out, so a lot can change. Even this week could change. But we're just getting an estimate of who has the best remaining schedules based on how their opponents have been doing versus the pitcher's hand in this over the last month or so.
Most definitely. And as we've been talking about all season, lefties have been dominating baseball compared to righties. But Ben, we talked before the show, that is not quite the case anymore. So what are we looking at here just as a macro level before we start talking to individual players?
Right, yeah. So to your point, I think the first week we did this, the average WRC plus versus left-handed pitchers across the matchups for the week we looked at it a couple weeks ago was, I think, like 95, which is below average. 100 is supposed to be average for WRC plus. And the average amongst all the matchups for the righties was 105. So it's not an even 50-50 because there's more righties, so it's probably weighted more in their favor. Like, well, there's more games that goes into the math, but when the overall average is that big of a difference, it was like 10 points. That's pretty big in my mind. But now here we are, it's basically almost flip-flopped. Not quite, but we have a new leader in the clubhouse. So the lefties, their opponents have an average of 104 WRC plus over the last 30 days, whereas the righties average is 102. So the league's actually been hitting better versus lefties than righties for the first time, what feels like all year. Not that we've been tracking it this closely, but I know that you and Ryan go over it to some degree in your podcast. And I know we've mentioned it before as well. So it's just interesting to see that teams can get hot and against, I guess, even certain handedness, but it could also be a product of the quality of the lefties that they're facing, because there are a lot of call-ups lately. So maybe there aren't as many good lefties that are up right now. It could just be random variants as well, but just something to look at. And anyway, we're going to be plucking out, at least identifying the best projected matchups anyway, but as a whole, it seems like the league's kind of it's kind of a coin toss between the two lefties and righties right now.
Yeah, I'd say it's a combination of the quality of the pitcher, and then Uncle Ted mentions there's way more right-handed pitching, roughly 73%, according to Uncle Ted. I haven't done the math on that to verify, but yeah, could check out. But just doing my daily matchups that I do for Baseball HQ, I do a lot of the last 30 days numbers. And a lot of these teams, especially since the All-Star break, which is definitely 30 days now, I mean, the trade deadline, 30 days, they're getting bad. Cleveland Guardians hitting like 220 as a team versus righties. Like, there's certain teams that are just all of a sudden just dredges against right-handed pitching because their team just stinks, is what it comes down to. Which, you know, if we even went 30 days, look past that, not the same, of course. So a lot of moving parts to this chart, to your point. But let's get to it. We'll go through a handful of the surprising lefty options, and then we'll do the righty options as usual. David Peterson leads the way for the lefties. He has four games coming up: Texas, Washington at home, at Great American Small Park, at Miami. The Texas start is not great, 108.4 average WRC plus versus lefties. But then you got Washington, who's horrible. Cincy's not great. Miami's not great. Peterson's coming off a horrible start, Ben, but it looks like brighter days may be ahead.
Yeah, he got of course, it was versus the Marlins too, when he gave 8 runs in 2 innings, had more walks than Ks, only 1 K. And yeah, it was a rough start. Still has decent numbers, but now his whip's kind of regressed back to where it was now. So his season long ERA, or whip, excuse me, is 1.31. Kind of in line. If you look at Peterson's last couple of years, it's nothing below 1.21. That was his rookie year. There's been a handful of 1.3. So he's kind of back. He's regressed back. And yeah, but at this point in the year, you got to start him against the Marlins again. The Nationals are an awesome start because I think they're probably the worst team versus lefties, I think, when I looked earlier. And the Cincinnati one is scary. I don't have the actual order here. Let me look to see what this week looks like for Peterson. There's so many Petersons. So this week was actually Cincinnati. So the Rangers have been okay, but they've had some injuries. I think in a 12, maybe you have better options. I feel like in a 15, though, you're probably going to have to start Peterson here on out, unless he gets bombed again against the Reds this week, and then you're maybe questioning the Texas start. But at least the Washington and Miami to finish the year out should be pretty good for him.
Yeah, no, he's pretty much locked into 15s, barring something crazy. And a phenomenal stream in 12s, a bench streamer more often than not. So I need a couple starts to get me off that train. Chris Sale and Tarik Skubal are the next two. We'll skip them. They're pretty good. Let's go to E-Rod. Erod has five more starts along the way here. He has a Boston start, a Dodger start, a Giants start, all at home, and then at the Padres, at the Giants. The Dodgers and Padres above 106 WRC+. Boston's at 93, and then the Giants are a lowly 78%, but actually starting to hit a little better. I'll throw this out there. Erod's coming off six shutout games with four walks and four Ks versus the Dodgers. That's typical Erod start, four walks with four Ks. That's what he does. But prior to that, nine runs over nine innings in his previous two starts. It's, if you just look at his game logs, it's like good start, bad start, good start, bad start. That's the Erod experience, folks. Now you look at this upcoming five-game finale for Erod. Do you risk it, Ben?
I'd be very hesitant to. I'd definitely be scared of starting Erod if I was in a pretty good – if I was high up in the standings. If you're chasing, it's a different story. I would not play him versus the Red Sox or the Dodgers or the Padres. Those are the three highest that he has. But if you're saying the Giants are doing better versus lefties, then maybe they are. But, yeah, I would only play him for those two.
They're slowly improving is what I'm getting at. Yeah. Like you throw Matos into the mix and stuff. It's slowly improving.
Yeah, we were talking before we recorded. They have Freeland tomorrow, so I'm sure he will pad their lefty stats pretty well. So, yeah, I would only do two out of five if I wanted to stream Erod. But I'd it'd almost be like a last resort type move, I think, because to your point, he's been very up and down, and you could step on a landmine and probably can't afford it at this point in the year.
Yep, that's where it gets very, very tricky with Erod. Like, I love a different topic, but I love Erod for DFS purposes because you can just roll with it. He's cheap. He'll give you the gems once in a while. Then he blows you up. It's DFS. You move on to the next day. Right now, you're trying to fight for finishing position. A little different situation here, but something to keep in mind for DFS. Now, here's one that we'll be talking about next Monday in Fav, potentially, Ben. Andrew Alvarez of the Washington Nationals. Everyone's like, who? Hey, I did it too. I looked him up. 26 years old. Going to make his MLB debut this week for the Washington Nationals. His remaining schedule, if he sticks in the rotation, and honestly, why wouldn't he? Mackenzie Gore's on the IL. We should have probably talked about that earlier. Didn't. My bad. Alvarez, you get Atlanta, Miami, Pittsburgh, Chicago. Outside of Miami, though, they're all like 92 to 103, so they're like respectable. Looking at Andrew Alvarez, 25 starts at the minors this year, 4.10 ERA, 114 Ks, 52 walks, and 123 innings for a 12% K to walk. Doesn't really tickle my fancy, Ben. So what's your thoughts when you see this upcoming schedule and a first-timer hitting the mound?
Yeah, I was looking at the grid as we were wrapping up our last player, Erod, and I was like, who the hell is this guy? But looking at how the matchups shake out, it's actually projected to be a two-start week this week. So if he's starting tonight, Alvarez, it's the Marlins, and he gets the Cubs on Sunday. So that's good that you missed a Cubs start. And then he goes into the Pirates, which I think he will be a pretty big stream for that, assuming that all goes well or isn't terrible this week. And then the Braves are the week 26 start for Alvarez. There isn't one for the 27th. Maybe they're RotoWire was saying undecided. Potentially, but I was in on Poli and Tong this past weekend in Fab. I'm not sure how Alvarez stands up against them prospect wise, but looking at the game log, I want his stats. Why aren't his stats there? Oh, there they are. Wrong button. He's actually had pretty bad whip the last couple of years. Alvarez, ERA around four. Not a lot of strikeouts for the minors. So, yeah, I just looking at his minor league numbers, I'm not too excited about adding him potentially. He could end up being really good this week, like I was saying with the two starts, but it has to be really good for me to probably want to add him next week.
Yeah, I'm looking at Ryan's minor league leaderboard, 123 innings at Triple-A this season, 22% K, 10% walk is the 12% K to walk, but it's an 11% swinging strike rate, 39% ball rate, a 51% ground ball rate's kind of bailed him out. And honestly, a 51% ground ball rate and only a 293 BABIP is pretty impressive. 64% left on base rate, 15% home run to fly ball. So he seems like an SP4 or 5 on a major league team. Doesn't seem like a world beater by any means, but we'll see. We'll see how this one plays out. Matchups are interesting, not overly excited though. Kershaw, we can skip. He's been outstanding. I want to get your thoughts on Cade Povich because I always have a soft spot for him for some reason. And the matchups, four starts, you got Pittsburgh, Tampa, at the White Sox, at San Diego. The Tampa one's the one you really want to target, and it's at home, which is a plus. Povich has made five starts since coming off the IL on August 4th. He's thrown 3 earned runs or less than 3 out of 4. He has a 4.78 ERA over the 26 innings, Ben. But it is a 3.34 Sierra, which is not horrible. And it's a 21% K to walk. Like, I always see the skills are very much there. The consistency is kind of Eduardo Rodriguez-esque with Cade Povich. So what do you see with this upcoming schedule? Maybe just stream only, or are you more interested in him?
I think Povich was appearing when we looked at this last week, and I saw him when I was doing my fab, and mainly for my good main event, I was like, I can't trust Povich right now because his ratios are so volatile. If you just need Ks and you're not really worried about your ERA or whip, I think he's a great add, especially considering the matchups that he has in line. The only one I'd really avoid is the Padres, because he's facing the Pirates and the Rays at home, and then he's in Chicago versus the White Sox, which are all fine. But, yeah, I'm looking at a Statcast to see what's going on. The K rate's really good, but everything else is pretty blue for Cade Povich. His XBA is 279, so when he's allowing contact, it's getting hit pretty hard because his average X velocity is 4th percentile in the bad way, so 91.7 miles per hour on average against Cade Povich. So he's just getting crushed. Maybe he's in the zone too much. I don't really know what the issue is, but if I'm at all concerned with my ERA and whip, I'd try to avoid him, even though the matchups are pretty okay. But if I need strikeouts and I don't care, I would I maybe gamble, but I'm staying away personally.
Yeah, he's another guy I love in DFS, another different topic because the strikeouts are always there. But like you said last week, you were worried about streaming him, and rightfully so, but 5 innings, no runs, 5 Ks, or 2 runs, 5 Ks. Like, yeah, I could do that. Mm-hmm. But you never know with Cade Povich. We're going to skip Ellard. He has one spot start. Mitchell Parker, you still in? Because I actually put him in a DC today and thought of you. I had to. I had no one else healthy. Like, literally had zero other options.
I think this is the Marlins week, right?
I think you're right, yes.
Because I believe I did play Mitchell Parker. Yeah, he's in all 3 of my DCs where I have him. And, yep, it's versus the Marlins at home. So, and Parker had a good start last week. He had 7 Ks, no walks, and 6 1/3 against the Rays. He was home, so that's good. But 4.26 ERA isn't going to kill you. A 0.95 whip is awesome. And they didn't get the win, unfortunately. But, yeah, I think this is where you want to target him finally, Mitchell Parker. Even though he started out the year great, hopefully he can end it pretty well too. So yeah, 2 Miami starts, a Pitt, a White Sox, who if you're desperate, I could see happening, but I would sit him versus the Mets. I don't know where that is, because the view we have isn't sequential order, but definitely do not play Mitchell Parker versus the Mets. But the other 4, I could see it.
Yeah, and a 15 teamer or even deeper, definitely in play there. The only other guy I'm going to ask you about here, we don't need to talk Boyd. Harrison might never pitch in the big leagues again. Shota, I want to get your thoughts on Logan Allen, because I keep looking at his schedule, because between your grid here and then Ryan's weekly grid, Allen always rates out well. This is the lefty thing, I think, coming into play here. Allen has 5 matchups remaining: White Sox, Royals, Texas, Boston, Minnesota for 2. So that's actually, yeah, 5 matchups, really 6 matchups, actually, really strong looking starts there. But in August, he's made 5 starts. He's allowed 17 earned runs in 25 and 2/3 innings with 24 Ks and 17 walks, Ben. I know I added him in a 15 for like a buck this week because he was down my waterfall, and that's just how the cookie crumbled. I still don't know if I could start him, but I think I was more sort of grabbing him for the 2-step he has next week, which is kind of intriguing. But what's your thoughts on Logan Allen? Because, again, your chart shows this. Ryan's weekly planner chart on the Patreon shows it. But then you look at the results, they're not showing it.
No. Yeah, the Royals White Sox 2-start week is pretty good in terms of matchups. But I think we talked about Allen last week because he was on here as well with a pretty good schedule. And he added a 3-walk game to his previous 4 of 3 or 4 walks. And that's just killing him because his whip on the year now is 1.43. He only has 105 strikeouts to 57 walks, 134 innings. So I think his K minus walk, if I were to pull up, is pretty, pretty bad. But yeah, I haven't really been in on him except for in the main events where aren't competitive. But if I have a league that's competing and I can't really afford a blow up or just a bad whip, it won't even be like a terrible, like a 2 whip. If it's probably going to be like a 1.5 or higher with Allen most starts. So if I don't really want that, I'd avoid him, but the 2-start week could be okay. The other thing that hurts too is that I think the Guardians are playing pretty poorly, so the wins may not be there for them. But it is the Royals and the White Sox, I think I said. So they could easily win both those games. But I would just be careful too. Kind of same vein as Erod potentially and some of the other guys. That I was a little, it's not like he's much better than Mitchell Parker, but at least Parker has better matchups, I think.
Yes,
he is higher up in the list. So. Yeah, it's scary with Logan Allen.
All right, I lied. I got one more I want to get your thoughts on. We're not going to talk Jeffrey Springs, but Springs is always kind of a boomer bust Erod type. Martin Perez, because yeah. Ryan asked us last week in our private chat, like what to do, and we went Perez. Perez was great. Perez has come back from the IL. He made a little bullpen action on the 13th. His last three starts starting on August 20th, it's been two total earned runs in 18 and a third innings with 17 Ks and two walks, and that's against the Yankees, Royals, and at the Braves. Like, not complete pushovers by any like sense of the imagination. And now you got Perez on this list. He's got Baltimore, Tampa. Again, Tampa obviously is the one you want to target. Detroit and the Yankees are tough. Just took care of the Yankees, though. And then he gets a wonderful Washington matchup along the way as well. So this is, I guess, the point I want to make here is, and I wrote him up in the Fab column this week, stop sleeping on Martin Perez.
He actually, this is unbelievable. He has a 2.16 ERA and a 0.98 whip so far this year. It's only 41 innings, but that's a great stretch. He's basically been good almost every game. He's had one bad game. I'll say one and a half bad games since he's come back, and he's made eight appearances, Perez. So I did finally play him in my DCs this week. I when I was setting lineups for last week, I saw the Yankee part of the two-star week. I'm like, there's no way. And of course he was, I think he was in line for the win yesterday and the Yankees end up losing the game. Perez didn't get the win, but he pitched super well. I am ready to get hurt again, as the office quote goes. I have Perez in how many lineups do I have him in? Oh God, I have him in five DCs. I started him in four of them.
I love it. Love it.
Yeah. Who's the matchup this week? It is it's the Tigers. Yeah.
The hardest one on the schedule we have in front of us.
Yeah.
+.
Yeah. It's 137 if anyone's wondering, but they're DCs. So the options are limited. So it was just me going with the hotter pitcher, I guess. I think options otherwise were like Dean Kramer versus the Dodgers. And I'm definitely going with Martin Perez versus the Tigers over Dean Kramer and the Dodgers. But this is super, this is deep. This is 15 teamers for Perez. Granted though, I did have him in my team in 2022 that did really well in the main event that finished third overall. I added him that year and I just said, screw it. I'm going to keep playing him. And he did great, Perez, but I don't think we can catch lightning in the bottle twice.
Yeah, but I guess the bright side is he gets, like you said, he gets the Tiger start out of the way here. And then
the national starts very good.
He gets Tampa next week, and then he gets Baltimore the following week. And then potentially towards the end here, he gets a two-step at the Yankees, and final start would be at Washington. So the home stretch is looking pretty nice for Prez after this week if you want to go take a shot on him.
Or if you're crazy like me, you already started him. But yeah, I think the next 2 weeks after the week of the first are pretty good matchups. Home versus the Rays and the Orioles. Yeah. Screw it. Why not? What
about it? Get it. So let's go to the right-handed pitching side of things. Kautang was called up by the Giants today, pitched great in Coors, which made me laugh because I thought he was really good. Then he got shelled a couple times with the AAA. He's back. I'll sit and watch from afar. We don't have to talk a lot here. I just want to bring up a name real quick, Ben, just for those
Discord favorite
listeners, Discord favorite. Jack Flaherty second on the list here when it comes to matchups the rest of the way. The White Sox, two against the lowly Guardians, who check boxes lefty and right. Like I told you earlier, they can't hit right now. And then somehow the Miami Marlins actually hit righties very well. They can't hit lefties. Love it in righties. It's a really good stretch for Jack Flaherty. I'm ready. As you said, I'm ready to get hurt again.
I think to anyone in the Bub and the Bloom Discord who is listening right now, I think you just play Flaherty the last 4 weeks because at this point he's probably destroyed your ERA and WHIP anyway. Well, I'm not trying to drive the knife in any further or twist it, but it's just fine. Saying. So at this point, what do you have to lose? You have the White Sox, like Bubba said, Guardians twice in the Marlins. You just play him. So
yep.
Hopefully he gives you pretty low ERA and WHIP.
Brian Wu, you're pitching him. Our buddy Luis Morales of the A's, we'll talk much more about him in Fab because I want to get some deep discussions on the like five pitchers that were popular this week, and he's one of them. Looked great today in his first start at St. Louis. That was his best matchup out of the five, though. Keep that in mind. But he's got an at Pittsburgh, an at Angels, Houston, who's not overly powerful, and then Cincinnati. Cincinnati and Houston both at home, so grain of salt with that one. But overall, he gets five teams that are all below average versus righties, Ben. And to me, he's been so good over his last four or five starts. Like, he deserves every right to pitch home or away right about now, unless you have a really superior option.
Right, yeah. He had a pretty nice two-step this week, Morales. It was, I forget who it was. It was
St. Louis was the first start.
Yeah, and then the Angels. Yeah, yep. So
great two-step.
Off to a great start already. I didn't actually see the line yet, but I know people in the live chat are talking about it. Yep. And I don't have him anywhere, unfortunately, but I think he's a must-start here. The Reds, well, the home starts are a little tricky. Yeah. Maybe you sit him for the
start Martin Perez those weeks. It's okay.
Jeez. Don't you love our options this time of year?
It's beautiful.
So the Astros start is the last week of the season. And so it could easily change by then. But yeah, it goes next week, Cincinnati at home, and then Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. So fire up Morales if you got him. I think he's one of those big waiver ads that no one knows about end of the year.
Most definitely. All right, I'm gonna get some respect here because I mentioned it as a streaming option on the Fab Show this week, and I even wrote about him, Justin Verlander. He has five starts remaining in the way. He's got Colorado at home, Dodgers at home, Cardinals at home, and then at Arizona at the Cardinals. The two Cardinals starts are really great. He's got the Cardinals this weekend in St. Louis, so that's one of the Cardinals start, but then next week it's the Dodgers, so you can sit that. Then it's a start against Arizona and the potential Cardinals Rockies road Rockies two-step to finish the week. How much is he gonna get Verlander by like next week or the week after before that two-step ridiculousness is gonna take place? Because he'll actually be viable then.
Yeah, definitely avoid the Giants and the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, but everything else looks pretty good. You know who he's married to, by the way, Bubba?
Kate Upton. Yep. You know who his brother is?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Same name as me, unfortunately.
Did a deep dive on him after one of the episodes with Ryan and realized the college he went to, all kinds of fun stuff about Mr. Ben Verlander.
I forgot to tell you, the drink that you said he was going to have, I lost it when I heard that on the podcast. That was very funny. But yeah, Verlander actually doesn't have a terrible ERA. I'm looking at his stats. He has a 4.23 ERA now for the year, which is very surprising. The whip's really bad. But I guess if you pick your spots, oh man, he's 3-10 too. So from a real life perspective, he's been horrible for the Giants, but which is unfortunate. But he had 15 Ks last week.
Yeah, eats up innings. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. So if you could add him for this week, potentially do it. But I would, to Bubba's point, maybe you add him during those weeks if you can stash him when he faces the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. But do not play him for those. I would not, at least.
That two steps. Might be pretty sweet. We'll talk Tong in a little bit. Chris Paddock has five. I can't stomach that. I don't know if you do. JT Ginn, Walker, Kirby, Bayo. Anybody on that list that you'd like to discuss? Because I'm terrified of Ginn, Paddock, and Bayo. Kirby and Walker, I just pretty much start regularly.
Yeah, it's going a little Walker's a start. Ginn has two at he has two at home, the Reds and the Astros, and then one's in Fenway. So really, I'm only really liking the Angel start for JT Ginn. Going a little bit farther down the list, though, there's Simeon Woods Richardson, which is interesting. He's a 92.8 average WRC+. He gets the Guardians, White Sox, Angels in there. I would avoid the Phillies and the Diamondbacks, though. Will Warren is interesting.
I was just about to ask you about Will Warren because I actually benched him in one league because I somehow had – I thought better two-step options than his one-step this week, but he's been phenomenal this year. Should we continue to trust that skill set as the season goes on?
I did play him in my 1DC, even though I think the matchup isn't the best. I forget which one it is this week. Let me pull it up right here.
Yankees, Will Warren gets at Houston this week, but then next week's home versus Detroit, at Boston two-step, and then he has at Baltimore, and then at home versus the White Sox to finish it off.
He's like the better version of Cade Povich, I think, because the ERA and the WHIP could be bad, but a lot of strikeouts for Will Warren. Because the Astros have been okay versus righties, a little bit, they've been below average. I said, okay, I'll risk it in this DC. But yeah, I think he's the better version of Povich because better win potential, and the The in Fenway one I'd try to avoid probably, but the Tigers, Orioles, and White Sox I'd be okay with.
Nice. I saw Taj Bradley's on the list for one start. Did you see he read his first set of scouting reports before his last start?
Oh, he was just winging it before that?
Apparently. He flat out said, this was the first start I ever read scouting reports for. That blew my mind. Blew a lot of people's mind, actually, on Twitter.
As that could explain athlete. Why he's been so bad, despite having good stuff. Interesting.
Any other writers?
He was on the Rays, too. How did the Rays let him not do that?
That's what I said. I think I quote tweeted it. And I said, and we used to think the Rays were quite the developmental system. Like, how do you go through that? Like, I find it so hard to believe he's never read a scouting report before.
But, maybe he can't read.
Hey, if that's the case, he tie clawed that thing pretty well. anybody else here on the righty side? Because most of them, I think, are pretty self-explanatory, like Logan Webb, Merrill Kelly, Bryce Elder, I don't trust. Maybe you do. Burgert, he's a popular name, another Royal. Luis Castillo, Severino's back on Tuesday from the IL, so on and so forth.
Actually, there's a lot of pretty good matchups because these guys are all the mid-90s. But I guess the last one I would want to bring up, because I have him in my home league, and he got me off to an awful start this week. Wasn't awful, but we used K for nine, and that's Spencer Strider. He got 1K in five innings tonight versus, did he face the Cubs, was it?
Yeah, the Cubs. It was the Cubs, yeah.
Yeah, and they were the best matchup per WRC Plus on his schedule for Strider. He gets the Astros, the Mariners, the Nationals, and the Tigers, but he's a mess right now, so I don't know. It's a 12-teamer that I have him in, and I decided just to see what happens, and the ERA and the whip weren't even good, too. I think he had like a 5.4 ERA and a 1.6 whip, Strider, tonight, so I don't know. Hopefully I make it through the playoffs, but
yeah.
He's such a hard start right now otherwise. And in a 15 teamer, you probably took him as one of your top three, four starters. So you're kind of stuck with him at this point probably, but I would have zero confidence playing him going forward.
Yeah. We had a lot of start sit questions in the chat this morning because the early lock time in the Discord. And there was a few, like Strider with like four other pitcher options. And I never recommended Strider. I don't think in the entire set of them, because it's been pretty brutal right now when it comes to Mr. Spencer Strider. All right, let's look at Fab, Ben. Let's take a peek. We'll recap. We'll look back on this rest of the season schedule next week, see where things shuffle up and change. But let's do it for those keeping track at home. We look at the 12-team NFBC OCs, most added players. We'll look at the 15's main events as well this week, because there's a lot of crossover on this one. We had three main event pitchers that were 0% rostered this week, which gave a ton of bidding for late in the season, which is not normal. So we'll start off with the most added player in 12s, Ben, and that was Kyle Bradish, picked up in 227 leagues, as high as $101, as low as a buck. In the NFBC, it was all 57, of course, as high as 102, as low as $2. So good to see this time of year you can get somebody in the main events also because of funding. Where are you at on Kyle Bradish? Because I'm actually watching his start in San Diego right now, and it's been a lot tougher to get through. He's only given up two runs through three, but it's been a grind, to say the least. It's actually two walks and four Ks through the three, but great in his first start with 10 Ks over six innings. Where were you at on Kyle Bradish? You're muted.
Sorry, Bubba. I thought I unmuted myself. I was pretty poor across my four NFBC leagues. Or Fab leagues, excuse me. So I did not get him anywhere, but he was my preferred ad of the big three. So it's kind of surprising to see that he went for a smaller max, at least in OCs, than Tong and Tolley did. In the main event, he went for less than Tong. Interesting. Well, there's a lot of Met fans who play in NFBC, so maybe that's why. But Bradish, yeah, he looked great in his first start out, and I was trying to pull up, to follow along with what you were saying about his start, but not the best follow up. But the Padres are pretty good lineup, so it's tricky. And of course, I close out of the rest of the season schedule because I'm kind of curious to see what
there's a 6-man rotation in Baltimore, so he has basically the first start each week is kind of what it's maybe turned into. He had San Diego tonight, then next week it's home versus Pittsburgh. Could have a two-step in the following week at White Sox, at home versus Yankees, and then he could wrap up the season at home or on the road versus the Yankees. So interesting schedule.
Yeah, he has one of the not the not nearly the worst average matchups, but 107.7 WRC plus for Bradish's next five starts, including tonight. So maybe he shouldn't have been the top ad based on just matchups, but I think, but I was trusting the guy who's done it before in the majors more than the rookies. So that's why I was referring Bradish over the other two that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I was kind of torn. I liked Bradish a lot. Didn't like the overall schedule for Kyle Bradish. So I was still in on him, got a few shares, but it was not my top priority. My top priority was very different than pretty much everybody. So we'll get to that shortly. Jonah Tong was picked up in 202 OC, so not in every league because OCs rule. As high as 214, though, as low as a dollar. He was picked up in all of the mains, as high as 129, as low as $2. Tong was really good in his debut, of course, with five innings, one earned run, four run score, but one earned, no walks, and six Ks, which is great to see. And everyone knows he has that wonderful near 30% K to walk at AAA, Ben. So it sounds like you were a little more excited on Mr. Tong this weekend.
Yeah, he was, I don't know if he was second or third. I think I may have had Tolley ahead of Tong. And per what RotoWire thinks, they think that Tong's only going to be around for one more start. Potentially, I think it's
Tyler McGill's coming back. So that's the weird conundrum right now.
Yeah, and even with McGill and Tong in and Tong out, it'd be a six-man. So the question is, does Holmes get kicked?
Or Manaea?
Oh, yeah, Manaea got crushed tonight.
Or Senga.
Oh, yeah, he's been awful, too. And then Peterson just got blown up. And someone was saying how, like, literally, I saw a tweet, like, their best two pitchers since July or something have been rookies for the Mets. Go figure. So, yeah, Tong could be gone. So, looking at the money spent, yeah, he had the highest max in OCs of the three guys. And then in the main event, it was, yeah, he had the highest in the main, too. So, maybe money wasted. I guess you're just banking that the Mets hold on to Tong. And he had a great first start. He pitched, what, five, six innings, I think it was. It was five and a third, eight Ks, two walks. That's totally, excuse me.
Yeah, it was five innings, six Ks, no walks.
Yeah, and 300 runs. So a great first start. He got the win, Tong. So, yeah, he was, I think, like I said, I think he was third on my list of these guys, maybe because of the lack of security in the rotation spot. So that's really the big question. But skills-wise, he looks pretty good. So I wouldn't have gone too crazy on spending on Tong because of that uncertainty. But hopefully, if you got him, at least the red starts is hopefully going to be good, even though it is in Cincinnati, which could be tricky.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, I got some Tong shares. I didn't even start him everywhere because of the red start, which scares me. And I'm just hoping he finds a rotation spot. I was kind of projecting for the future, hopefully with Tong, which not always the best thing to do. All right, a man out of my own heart. Love this human being. Just looking at him and the way he deals on the mound from the left side. Peyton Tolle is, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, I apologize, but so be it. He was picked up in 200 OCs, as high as 150, as low as a dollar. He was picked up in 57 mains, as high as 93, as low as a dollar. The Red Sox say he's going to stay with the team either in the bullpen or the rotation. They have not made anything official. I didn't get one share because I was terrified of his potential bullpen usage. And Ben is frozen looking at this. He's terrified because he had Tolle ranked higher, it sounds like. So we'll see what Ben thinks about Peyton Tolle whenever he unfreezes there, because we've lost him for the time being. But Tolle was great in his debut. Five and a third innings, two earned runs, two walks, eight Ks. When it comes to his minor league profile, we had Tolle at a 304 ERA over 18 starts, 133 Ks to 23 walks. He started in high A, finished in triple A. That's a 30.2% K to walk for Peyton Tolle. And that is just some pretty outstanding stuff there. So the dude's a beast. It's just a matter of, will he be able to figure things out? And Ben lost his internet. He'll be back shortly. But yeah, Peyton Tolle, really good stuff. Not sure what we're going to get out of him, if it's just bullpen work or if it's going to be spot starting or how it's going to go, which makes it very difficult this time of the year when you're limited on funds. I chose to spend my money elsewhere. And that money elsewhere, if Ben comes back, we'll get his Tolle thoughts, goes to another starting pitcher, which we'll talk about shortly. The fourth most added player in the NFBC OC is Abner Uribe, picked up in 180 leagues, as high as $200. As low as a buck. He was picked up in 35 main events, as high as 54, as low as $2. I always love how there's guys with like $200 sitting around this time of year. but it made sense. If you need saves, go get your man. It was between Uribe and Ryan Walker this weekend, with Trevor Megill hitting the IL. It was all about going to get Abner Uribe. Now the question is, how long is Walker out for? We do not know. But over Uribe's last three outings, he's got two saves. He has not allowed a run in a relief appearance since July 12th. He has a 1.65 ERA over his 65 and a third innings this year, which is outstanding, to go with a 2.88 ERA. And more impressively, a very solid 21.2% K to walk over that stretch for Abner Uribe as well. He's a guy, if you listen to the Bubba in the Bloom fab preview each week for a long, long time there, we were talking about spec relievers. I always kept saying, don't sleep in Abner Uribe. He's got like the best crazy stuff. Like, he's one of those relievers that was even worth rostering for ratios, strikeouts, and a potential win upside with Abner Uribe. So he made a ton of sense in that regard to add him this week. And again, it was down to him and Ryan Walker for your save targets here for the final month of the season. And it went to Abner Uribe for now. All right. The fifth most added player in the NFBC OCs was Luis Morales of the Sacramento Athletics, picked up in 135 leagues, as high as 41, as low as a dollar. He was picked up in 25 main events, as high as 33, as low as a buck. Morales was a major target of mine. He was my top target this week when it came to the pitching profiles in FAB. And it so far paid off. He had the 5 2/3, 2 earned, 1 walk, 8 Ks against the Cardinals. Love the profile that we've seen from Morales since he joined the rotation. I won't use his 2 2/3 any starts, but before today, since August 16th, he's made 3 starts that he's gone at least 5 innings in each start. He's allowed 2 total earned runs over 18 innings pitched with 18 Ks and 4 walks. So he's been absolutely outstanding. He's a 21.2% K to walk for Luis Morales. We talked about him in the schedule preview for the next 4 weeks. But when you look at Morales, he had the 2-step this week at St. Louis, at the Angels. Next week's at home versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati's offense is good, but not great. I'm not too worried about that. Then at Pittsburgh the following week, and then the final week of the year is versus Houston. So that might be the only one that kind of scares me. I love the upside for Luis Morales. He's been great with ratios. He's getting you strikeouts. Lots to like here with the young arm. I wrote about him in my ALSPT tomorrow because he was coming fast through the minors. Didn't know if he'd get there this year. He got there, and that was great to see. Ben Tidd is back in the house. Ben, I've hit on a couple players. Let's get your thoughts on them. Peyton Tolle, talked about him. You said he was probably your most exciting target this week. I can't remember. I had 0 bids on him because I was worried about bullpen / starting. What were your thoughts on Peyton Tolle? Because I love the beast of the machine that could be him, especially in 2026.
Yeah, well, first, sorry about that. Bubba had a little internet blip.
But, I know all about that, trust me.
Yeah, and I know other podcasts suffer it as well. So I knew I wasn't the only one to deal with this. But I think, yeah, I was a little unsure about Tolle. And I was trying to look up his pronunciation, and as soon as I clicked on his name, I think the internet went out. It was like, I'm like, oh, no, what did I do? He's penciled in for Friday this week versus the Diamondbacks for RotoWire, but I don't know if he's going to be there long term. And I think his minor league numbers were pretty good when I looked at them.
He's outstanding.
I think he had the better start between Tong and himself, yep. If I'm not mistaken. I would say. I mean, they were both really good, but I think he was second in my waterfall after Bradish Tolle. He had a career minor league ERA of 3.04, which is pretty excellent. Only one season. Oh, wow, he's really young. This was his first career season in the minors. Yeah,
drafted out of TCU last year. Yes.
Yeah, 133 Ks and 91 innings. I'm sorry if you read that when I was gone, but it's all good. Yeah, he had really good. He had really great minor league numbers, a sub-1 WHIP. So I that's why I really liked. And I think the Red Sox rotation is definitely obviously it's better than the Mets in terms of finding a spot, because like we were discussing, the Mets having 7 starters right now potentially, where the Red Sox just got rid of Walker Buehler, and it seems like Buehler is gone for Tolle, so that gives me confidence because May could also get kicked because he's been awful.
Yes.
Richard Fitz is out for a while. Cutter's done. Dobbins is done. Houck's done. Yeah. I think Tolle is probably safe here on out, I think.
I should have probably trusted that more and taken shots. I love the skills of him. I was just terrified about the lack of commitment to him. I should have just probably taken the gamble. But I took it on Tong instead, and then I'll mention another guy we'll talk about in a minute. We talked about Admiral Uribe. Was picked up everywhere because of the Trevor McGill deal. It was between Uribe and Walker. I didn't talk about Walker yet, but how much interest did you have in Abner Uribe?
I don't think I actually put a bid in for him because my one main event has three closers, actually, because I added Fair at one point. My other main event's punting. My other main event, I have little, like, no money left, so I couldn't afford it. My listener league, I had Fair as my RP3 as well, so I didn't really go after Uribe, but he was probably the clear closer ad this week. There's somebody else too. I can't think of who it was. Ryan Walker was the other one. Yep. Maybe I prefer Walker. I think the Brewers like the mix and match more than the Giants do. Would you agree with that? You'd probably prefer Walker over Uribe?
Yeah, let's jump to Walker and we'll combine this conversation. So he was picked up in 115 leagues, as high as 119, as low as a dollar. He was widely rostered in main events. And to your point, where you went with that is, out of the two, I mentioned it in my fab column that I wrote for the Patreon this week, that I preferred Walker over Uribe. That was my choice if you had the two, because the Giants are kind of out of options. Like, they've gone through, Duvall's traded, Randy's getting surgery. You just go down the list. Walker's the dude. He's been very good this year. Strikeouts haven't been the same. He lost the job, but he's been very good since losing said job. Uribe's elite. He's awesome. But there's two things. The mix and match you discussed, and there's still a world where McGill comes back in like 2 weeks. So, like, they haven't ruled that out, and that would just kind of deplete the whole system. So that was my thoughts on the situation. So where were you at on the Walker versus Uribe? It sounds like you're kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, I didn't bid on Walker either. Well, actually, not to lie, I did, but I couldn't afford a lot of money on him. I actually only had a bid in for Walker in that team, I think, and not Uribe. But there's a chance that Uribe was already added because he's been pretty good. Let me check to see what the situation was. Oh, no, he was added universally yesterday. So I could have added him in my four fab leagues, Uribe. But looking at the bullpen, they do have Miller, but then Miller left tonight with an injury, it looks like, or something. He left in the eighth inning. I was watching MLB Network and Jared Koenig chucks. He throws like 99.
He's nasty. Yes.
Yeah. And Nick Amir is supposed to be pretty good as well. Yep. Aaron Ashby's there. Yeah. There's a lot more options, I think, that the Brewers have. But at least Fangraphs Master Resource does have Uribe as the closer. But yeah, I still think that Walker. But then at a point in Uribe's favor is that the Brewers are better than the Giants. So more save opportunities potentially.
That's a fair point as well. Yes.
So I guess maybe that's why Uribe went for more money, or at least in more leagues, and yeah, more money as well. It seems like based on the max. I had the Fab report up, but because of my internet, I lost it. I can always go. It's not that important, but I'm curious to see what the average was in the main event because, I don't even have it here. Yeah, forget about it. It's gonna take too long to find.
The player I was just wrapping up talking about when you came back, I really want to get your thoughts, is Luis Morales. He was picked up in 135 OCs, as high as $41, as low as a buck. And he was picked up in 25 mains, as high as 33, as low as a buck. I talked about how good he's been of late, pitched well. He's got the phenomenal schedule we talked about. I ran through that again while you were gone. He was my top starting pitching target this week. Like, he was my top one. I got him pretty much everywhere, I think. We'll find that out for sure shortly. But I'm a believer in this kid. He's actually pitched well at home and on the road of late. So just the home narrative, I get it, but it doesn't stick all the time type thing. I'm very optimistic when we have with Morales. I like the other guys, but Morales to me is in the rotation barring something crazy happening. What are your thoughts on Luis?
Yeah, unfortunately, the main events added him last week. It's kind of typical of our conversations here, which is I would have had him right behind the other three, I think, if I could. That's a good question, actually. I don't know.
That's why I want to see how you have him. I want to see how you have him ranked out, because I have Morales above the other three. And you don't have to agree with me. I'm just curious where you have
him. No, it makes sense, though. And he did have the great schedule. I remember when we were looking at it earlier. I think he was near the top.
It's right here if you want it. He had the two-step this week at St. At the Angels. It's a great schedule.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tong's uncertainty. And looking at the Bradish schedule now, it probably makes more sense to have Morales at the top. So I don't really blame you for doing that.
Yeah, every once in a while, the squirrel finds a nut on that one.
The only thing, though, looking at his stats, is that he has a lot of walks, Morales.
Yeah, but that's gotten better since he joined the rotation, which is crazy. He, over his three full rotation starts, it was two walks to 18 strikeouts before today's one walk in 8 Ks. So three walks.
He had half of his 10 in like one start against the Orioles. So
it
seems like it was like a one outing thing. So, okay, I guess I'll take that back a little bit.
he's improving. He's improving. Again, he's young. He could blow up at any moment, but I'll take my chances on
especially
that.
In Sacramento.
Yes. Let's get your thoughts on Parker Messick. Popular two-step this week. Picked up at 126 OCs, as high as 81, as low as a dollar. Should have been quite popular. Yeah, he's well gone in main events. He's been kind of a talking point off and on for a few weeks, but in 12s, he's got a fringy 12. He's kind of locked in to the 15 worlds just because he's been steady each and every time out there for a bad Cleveland team. So far in his first two starts, 13 and two-thirds, one earned, one walk, 12 Ks, which is great to the point of that discussion. But on step one of his two-step today, Ben, 3 2/3 innings, 9 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. Not how you wanted to get the party started. Where are we at on Parker Messick?
He was added last week as well in the main events, because that's how those things go. But this was definitely the you kind of missed the train with him, because he had, well, the first start you couldn't add him because it wasn't available at NFBC at least. But then Messick, his second start was really good, because he, I think I just had it pulled up. It was the Rays at home. But now the second half of the two start is the Rays in Tampa, which you don't want to deal with. So in Fenway and in Tampa, I think he was on my bid list for the listener league. He's actually still available. I didn't go down to Messick, and it was because of the two start week. But besides that, I'm a big fan of what we've seen so far from Messick. Where is he over here? Actually, he's probably pretty low on the streaming because of this week. Oh, he gets the Tigers as well, too. He gets the Tigers twice. Yikes. And then the Royals are crammed in there over the last 3 weeks. So maybe you missed the best of his season. But the Tigers could – I don't expect the Tigers to stay at a 137 WRC plus. And also, they platoon a lot, so maybe that's why they're doing better versus lefties. But at least in terms of next year, I'd be a big fan of drafting Messick. I think I have to try to remember that of all these rookies that have gotten called up that are pretty good, because I kind of forget about that when it comes to DC season. But we'll worry about that later. But yeah, I think Messick's good. I just don't know about adding him for the two-star week.
For sure. We talked about Ryan Walker. Ian Seymour picked up in 110 OCs, as high as 36, as low as a dollar, widely rostered in main events before this past weekend. Seymour's made two starts in the Rays rotation, 5 innings in each start, so 10 innings total, 1 earned run, 16 Ks to 2 walks. When you looked at Seymour, he is in Tampa this week, which was kind of a deterrent for some, but overall skill set's great. He has Cleveland this week at home, which not the worst matchup in the world. He has the White Sox next week, and then it gets a little rocky after that, but you get a couple starts out of Ian Seymour. What were your thoughts on him when it came to bidding? Again, gone in most of your 15s.
Yep. Excuse me, he was available in 2 of my 15s at least. I did not get him at either spot. Yeah, not the best schedule in terms of how his opponents have been doing. Well, yeah, mainly because of the Blue Jays. They have been destroying lefties. So definitely try to avoid those starts. The only other thing, though, is that he's pitched kind of pure, because he only has gone 5 innings in both starts. And I think his pitch count has stayed pretty low, Seymour's, and it's just the Rays thing to do. So maybe
that's the Rays way right there.
It is. So maybe if he gets into an inning or an outing where doesn't only allow one walk and one hit like he did versus the Guardians, maybe he has some base runners that he may not be able to go 5 innings, but the Ks could be there. It's just that the wins may not be there, but I think the ratio should be pretty good for Seymour. And if you're not desperate for wins, he's probably a very good add. If you need wins, he's fine, but I would just, hopefully he can go more than 5 innings pretty soon.
Yep, I'm with you there. A couple more here. We don't talk about all, like Luis Matos, we talked a ton about recently. Love what he's doing. Didn't start on Monday in Coors, which is a bummer, but we roll against Freeland on Tuesday. Jeremiah Jackson just went deep in San Diego off Adrian Morejone, of all people, so that was impressive. Just quick thoughts on Jeremiah Jackson, because I think it's one of those we keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, but he keeps producing. He hits like second for the Orioles every single day. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, he's one I overlooked, I think, last week in Fab, but the weekly, yeah, he was 8 for 24 2 weeks ago with a homer. Last week he was 9 for 30 with a homer. 10 Ks, which is a lot. But so far he's hitting 323 and 93 at-bats. So pretty decent sample size, still very small. The K rate on the year isn't terrible. For the majors, 23 Ks and 96 plate appearances. So he's below 25%, which is good. No steals yet. and two homers over 93 at bats isn't the best, but the average has been there. And you mentioned the hitting second for Jackson. I think that's a really good, it's really good for his fantasy value. But it seems like Beavers is probably the better option, because I know that was the debate last week between the two, at least. I think we talked about them. But yeah, Jackson's a good fill-in. I don't know how good their weekly matchup was. They were in San Diego versus the Dodgers, so not the best week to add him probably, but if you need playing time, then he's a pretty good add.
Yeah, Gavin Sheets is a popular add. I tried to tell people to temper that. He's been playing great. He gets the Colorado three righties to end the week, but Jackson Merrill's coming back, and that's what's led to all of Sheets' playing time. Hopefully they keep him in the lineup, because then it'll be great. Mike Yastrzemski added in 61 OCs, as high as 24, as low as a buck. He's been awesome. 7 home runs in August, Ben. Christian Javier picked up in 51 leagues, as high as 52. Pablo Lopez spec in 44. Anybody else you'd like to see? You can discuss somebody I mentioned or anybody else that stands out to you, because now we're getting to the point of fill your role type situation.
Yeah, Pablo is back versus the Royals on Saturday. I think that's when he's projected to be back. And when we were covering the streaming portion of the show, I saw Pablo had a pretty bad matchup. He gets the Royals, who actually been pretty good versus righties, the Diamondbacks, Yankees, Rangers, Phillies, and they've all been
– that's tough.
Most of them have been in the 115 or higher range versus righties over the last month. But it is Pablo Lopez, but he is coming back from injury, so he could struggle a little bit in his couple of outings, but it's good to see him back. And it was a muscle injury too. It's not like it's a core shoulder, like rotator cuff type thing. It was more of a muscle strain that Lopez had. So I wasn't able to get him back, but I think he could just dominate, because some of these teams have issues, but they've been hitting well. It's just be careful with expecting for him to be like beginning of the year Pablo, when he had a 2.80 ERA and a 1 WHIP. I don't know if he's going to do that over the next 5 starts.
Agreed. Makes it a little tricky in that regard. A couple on the main event side of things I wanted to mention, like the fourth most added player was Jock Jams. Jock Peterson picked up in 40 leagues, as high as 18, as low as a buck. Jock entered Monday's action riding a 9-game hitting streak. He's hitting 316, 4 homers, 12 RBIs. He's looked much better. The Rangers, I believe, faced 6 righties this week. So that was a great add. The other one I want to mention, and then it's all the floor is yours. Connor Norby picked up in 31 leagues, as high as 21, as low as a dollar. He came off the IL, had a couple hits in each of his, or he had a couple hits over the weekend. He's another guy that people love coming into draft season, and so he's back. Anything on Jock, Norby, or any of the other higher ads in the main events that weren't so popular, like Zach Gelof, who I've waxed poetically about, he was another one.
I pulled a Ryan Bloomfield, and I was thinking that Jock was on the Diamondbacks for a second. I'm like, why would they add him? They faced 2 lefties to start the week, and awesome. Then I had a brain fart there for a second. But yeah, great week for streaming Jock. Kind of similar story for Norby, because the Marlins get 4 lefties, at least projected to be that way, so that's pretty good. Gelof is good if he can afford an average hit.
Yeah, he had 3 more hits on Monday. He's actually,
he's actually helping your average right now.
Well, he entered the weight with a 61% strikeout rate, so it's been bad.
Yeah, the last week he had 13 Ks and 22 at bats, so pretty good BABIP for him. And then, Matos is on there again, Triolo's there, but Javier Assad.
Yeah, I was wondering if you're gonna see that one.
Oh man, is versus the Nationals, but it's that's a good matchup. I don't know if I would do it though.
Not a chance. I
would wait and see. Rather, definitely.
I'd rather just suck it up. If he pitches great, kudos to Javier Assad on that one. But to the Gelof point, which I mentioned on the preview last week with Ryan, the reason I really liked going to get him this week is they got the full week in Sacramento next week, and you could potentially have a party with that one if it all works out. All right, let's get to it, Ben. Let's talk about our ads from the week. Really curious what your top 10 main event team did this week, Ben.
We'll save that for last. Okay, we'll go through all the crap first. New Jersey main, I added Aaron Civale, who's now getting he changed teams, and he's also got moved to the bullpen, so that didn't work out too well.
Yeah, that was another one of those where he got quietly released and the Cubs picked him up.
Yeah, well, this is kind of funny. So I added Savali, dropped Kyle Harrison. Go figure.
Okay,
6-0, which is an awful amount to spend on Aaron Savali, but this team is not going to cash, so it's whatever. Added Joey Wentz, dropped Nick Martinez, 1-1. Added Aaron Ashby, dropped Jason Alexander, 1-0. Main event two. You probably appreciate this. This is more of a Ryan's guy, I think, though. I added Adam Frazier, dropped Luis Robert Jr., 1-0. This is the one where I added Tyler Anderson. I dropped JP Sears, 1-1. I never had time to fix it. And then added Ashby again, dropped Harrison, again, 1-0. I'll skip over three. I'll go to the Listener League. This is where I added Peyton Tully. I dropped Jameson Taillon, 4-3. I got Luis Matos here, dropped Blake Perkins, 2-1. And I got Ian Seymour, dropped Eric Lauer, 1-0. So pretty good bidding there.
$1 for Seymour. That's outstanding.
Yeah, the league's falling asleep. You gotta talk to your listeners, Bubba.
Yeah, that happens this time of year.
Yeah. Yep. And then so for the main event that is doing well right now, only one move. I only had $11 going into the week because I overspent on some closers, but it's okay. I added Mason Miller, dropped Eric Lauer, 2-0. I figured with Miller, if I really hit my matchups, I could plug him in there and maybe get a save and hopefully get some good ratios. But it's kind of weird. They haven't really used him that much. He's only averaged like 2 innings per week recently. There was a couple weeks where he had 5 Ks, 8 Ks in limited innings, but week 22, which is 2 weeks ago, Miller had 2 2/3, only 2 Ks. And last week, 3 Ks and 2 innings, but maybe that they have a 7-game week, the Padres. I got to throw him in there and hopefully get a win or a save and some good ratios. But like, so I said, Lauer's a cut for me, unfortunately, but he was a good add when it lasted.
I get it. How are we doing? You said we're top 10. How are we feeling about it?
So I was checking and I think I'm actually 9 right now. Oh, I was 9 for a minute. I'm back to 10. Oh, I got
screenshot life that.
I should have, yeah. Well, 9's good, but it's whatever. I avoided the Chaminade blow up. I sat him this week. So that was nice. Oh, Randy got me a steal. That's good. Yeah, it's it was tough. I was annoyed with the Matos sitting because I have him on this team, but I played Matos. I have Willie Adames and I have Elliot Ramos. So I was thinking nine games in cores to start the week is perfect, especially when I need average help. But rolling out with 3 closers right now, trying to get some extra saves points, keep ERA and WHIP pretty low. But still, the goal is still steals and average for this team. That's where I can make the most ground. And I don't know what the goal is for this week. So last week I said my goal was to get into the top 10, and I did that. Maybe I'll say top 7. I don't want to get too crazy yet, but trying to inch closer over these last 4 weeks.
I love it. If you could finish, and well, obviously win the whole damn thing would be great, but if you could finish top 5, that would be absolutely awesome, I think, as the grind has continued on. Just keep climbing. I know you've higher expectations, but yes.
Well, yeah, it's been a wild ride because I was first in April for a few weeks, and then, of course, naturally I fell out because your team in April is going to change so much. Like, it's just the start of the season. And then I was like in the 20s, 30s, and then I had a huge – I don't know if it was one of the Lizardo weeks, but I dropped to 42nd was my worst. And then I've slowly climbed back up. So now I'm back at 10. So I'm pretty happy with how the team's done. It's just,
it's probably because Lizardo's pitched so well for the last month. It's got you right back in it.
Yeah. I was telling you, I think he moved me up to 10 last night in Sunday Night Baseball. I was like, all right, well, I don't appreciate the 4.2 ERA and the 1.3 something WHIP, but the Ks have been nice and the wins have been good too. So
definitely it could be worse. We'll see where that keeps going here. So for my ads of the week, I unloaded the clip. It's going to get fun. Fab will be nice and quick the next few weeks, I think. I haven't looked at my final numbers, but it can't be much. In one of my OCs, I picked up Mark Vientos, dropped Royce Lewis, 7-for-7. Of course, Lewis goes deep on Monday, but he hasn't been doing much, and I want that Vientos train. I picked up Luis Morales, dropped Charlie Morton, who got shelled today, 7-4. Picked up Jonah Tong, dropped Kodai Senga, 7-5. Hopefully he replaces him in the rotation too. And I picked up – I wanted to get a first baseman just in case Kurtz didn't play, and of course he's not. And the first baseman options in this league were not good, Ben. So I went and picked up Dom Smith for $1, dropped Blake Perkins, no runner-up. And Dom Smith got a couple RBIs already on Monday in Coors Field, so we roll. Enjoy nice. That. Hopefully gets the 3 games in Coors. Kurtz comes back this weekend. We all are a happy family in this one.
And so you agree that Perkins is a drop because Cheerio's back now?
Agreed. Yeah, he was already kind of not producing to begin with, as it was the last like 2 or 3 weeks. And then with Cheerio back, I think Perkins will be a common drop throughout most of the rest of this show. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
In my Beat Bubba OC, I picked up Luis Morales, dropped Blake Perkins 3-1 in that one. That was my only ad in that league. And one of my 12-team standalones, Got Kyle Bradish, dropped Nathaniel Lowe 12-12. Got Mike Yastrzemski, dropped Blake Perkins 3-0. I don't think I got anybody in my Vegas league because I got limited funds and was outbid everywhere. Yeah, someone spent $300 on Jonah Tong and $35 on Alec Bohm. So $335 this week. I was just like, where did that money come from? But I digress. The Bubba and the Bloom Listener League. I got Gavin Lux for the weekend. Cincinnati already had a double, or at least a double and more tonight. Dropped Jameson Taillon 3-1. Picked up Michael Lorenzen for his two-step. Dropped Matt Strom 2-1. Lorenzen has been not great, but much better than I think some might realize. Talked about him a lot on the preview show with Ryan. And then in my OLAC, where I'm fighting in the top three there, picked up Luis Morales. Dropped Nate Eovaldi 8-8. Picked up Jonah Tong, dropped Randy Rodriguez 8-6, so two IL guys gone. And I picked up Kyle Bradish. So I got the triumvirate of options this week. Dropped Kodai Senga 8-6. So I dropped two IL guys for the season and Kodai Senga for three guys that I hope help me get to the finish line. That's why I kind of unloaded the clip there. I needed to make that transition for the final month of the season in a league I'm trying to stay strong in that regard. We'll see how it pans out, though, Ben. It felt weird winning a lot and knowing my funds are limited. I think I have like $18 still in the league, which is not bad. I can live with that. But it's going to get a little more interesting down the stretch.
Just remember when Bobby Big Bucks won the main event 3 years ago, he had no money at this point. So
yep,
you can do it too, Bubba.
We're grinding. You can do it too. You can do it too. You got
moving by $3 per week now.
Hey. That still plays. That tracks. So we'll see where it goes. We'll recap things next week, as always, and hopefully keep moving up the list here and see what we always get done with the show. Like towards the end of the season here, it feels like, oh, there's no one else to spend money on. And then boom, here comes three more guys. Boom. Like they just keep showing up. And it's pretty wild this time of the year. It's Basalo and company and Basayo and company. And now it's these pitchers. We'll see what this weekend brings. But before we head out, any final thoughts as we wrap up our week 24 review with 3 weeks of Fab to go?
No, it's crazy that, well, it's good that we're still busy, at least with our Fab moves, but just got to be careful. And is it the Royals who are calling up a bunch of guys? They were the ones calling up a bunch of rookies, right? Like two guys or something like that I saw.
The Cardinals called some up. The Reds called some up. A lot of teams are calling up a few, but like we'll have Sal Stewart, I believe, for the Reds to talk about next week for sure. And we'll see kind of who else is getting the job done.
Yeah, I would try to temper my expectations for those guys because I'd rather just go for someone who I kind of know what to expect at that point, unless they're pitchers and pitchers are pitchers. So, but in terms of if they're position players, I mean, we'll talk about it more, I'm sure, next week. But just I would try to play a little bit safer. You don't want to, unless you're like really shooting for the moon, it's one thing, but I would try to go with some known commodities over the next couple of weeks.
Agreed. So we'll see where that comes next week on our week 25 Fab review. But until then, make sure you follow the top 10 main event player in the world, Ben Ted, on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I am at BD Entrick. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 781. Catch you all next time.